Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Welcome to Exploring Missions. And today, again, seems like week after week, Nathan, we have special guests. And the reason is we've been at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. It's been a joy to be at that location.
It has been a joy, and Tennessee folks are great, but it's also great when you meet folks from all over the world, and just like we've been able to do. And today we have some special guests from a couple different corners of that world, one from the United States and one from India, and all the way to Nashville, Tennessee, and we got to meet them. Welcome, brothers. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have with us our brother Terry and our brother, I'm going to have a struggle with saying this correctly.
That's the reason I left it up to you.
Well, we're going to say N.J. Varghese. Is that close?
Yes. Just call me N.J.
All right.
I will do that gladly, N.J.
And I say New Jersey, N.J. So you don't forget.
Well, we are glad to have you guys. And you're a part of a ministry of Reaching India. And India has it passed China in the most populated country in the world?
It's almost past China.
That's what I've heard, because of all the abortion and all the things that's taken place in China. They're on the decline, and India is still growing.
Yes, you're right.
And I'm just going to ask some general questions, NJ, to begin with. When you're talking about India, you're talking about a multicultural, multi-language, different in regions and everywhere. But it was early on Christian came to India in the person of an apostle named Thomas.
Thomas, yeah.
Now, isn't that amazing? That's your heritage, N.J.
Wow. Yes. I come from a St. Thomas Church.
Amen.
In the southern part of India is a state called Kerala.
Yes, Kerala. Has produced many, many missionaries.
Yes. St. Thomas came to India, it's a state called Kerala, in 52 A.D., and he preached in my home state, and St. Thomas established 7 churches, and few of those churches are still existing, you know. Because of strong Hinduism, Christianity didn't spread to northern part of India. And in Kerala, we have a lot of Christians are there, Christian influence in high places. So it is, we call Kerala is the God's own country in India.
It is kind of in an area unusual for India.
Yes, it is. And if you go from Kerala into other parts of India, you pretty much have to go north to get there.
Right.
And so we're speaking with NJ and Terry, and they're with All India Mission. And many years ago, you went north to North India. What took you there?
Yes. The Lord called me into His ministry, and I wanted to go to North India because when I realized millions of people in northern part of India never had a chance to hear about Jesus Christ, not even once in their life.
That's right.
My heartbeat was go to the places where the gospel never been preached. My father gave me $1 to go into the mission field.
Oh, well.
I left by faith, but God never let me down. Mm. I went to a state called Bihar, B-I-H-A-R, which is southern part of Nepal. So you will have some idea where Bihar is located. And I rented a house there. My house rent was 50 cents a month. Wow. Just 50 cents a month. No bathroom and no electricity, nothing there. But, you know, to start and do God's work, you don't need so many things in life. You can do where you are. You can make a difference the way that the Lord has called you. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added as a bonus. That is my testimony in my life. Okay. When I went there, sir, people who are hearing me today, I had to learn a new language. Mm-hmm. In India, people speak over 1,652 languages and dialects. My language is completely different where I grew up. Mm-hmm. I had to learn a new language. It's called Hindi. If you don't know, Hindi is the second largely spoken language in the world. Mm-hmm. Over 500 million people speak Hindi.
Yeah.
So I had to learn Hindi to communicate the gospel. Mm. But because of the language barrier, that didn't put me behind in preaching the gospel. I went forward by bicycle. Well, I have so much to share. Bicycle, where do I get a bicycle? I prayed 6 months to buy a bicycle. Mm. I was walking. As a result of that, the Lord inspired me to write a book. We'll talk about it later. Christ on the Dusty Roads of India. Because I walked in the dusty roads of Indian villages, taking this precious gospel to the precious Indians who never had a chance to hear about the Lord.
Yep.
We went in different places, walking, carrying books, giving out tracts, wherever we get the opportunity, that was our pulpit, preaching the gospel. In India, you know that you never can get away from people. You go anywhere, all of a sudden people come around you, and they have time to listen. They have time to hear. When we preach the gospel about a man who died for their sins 2,000 years ago, it doesn't make much difference with them. When we go further and explain about Jesus, he said he died. But he is not dead today. Amen. He rose again on the third day. Mm. And he changed my life. Really? He rose again? I never heard anybody rose again. In my religious books, they would say, anybody rose again? Your Jesus rose again? Yes, he is rose again. Many have seen it. And I seen it by faith. And God changed my life. Mm. That is the reason I came all the way from southern part of India to an unknown land is called Bihar. Bihar state was known as the graveyard of missions.
Wow.
People didn't want to go there because during British time, many foreigners from the Western world came to preach the gospel in Bihar, but they couldn't succeed. Many of them didn't get even a single convert. It's very hard. Bihar is our very hard people communicating the gospel. So God sent me to the graveyard of missions.
Amen.
So I preached there 2 years, brother. Nobody became a Christian believer. Nobody came to know the Lord. Mm. Now what am I going to do? But that is faith comes. God has called you. He has a plan for you. God never be late. Mm. 2 years is too late for me. Not when a single convert. 2 years is not late. God was preparing the hearts of the people there. He was preparing my heart and reaching out to masses of people, giving out literature, preaching the gospel, learning the Hindi language, and living in a 50 cents rented home. That was so exciting.
Do you think part of that was they were watching? They were not just listening, but they were watching
seeing
if what you were saying had really affected your life?
Yes, they were. And anyway,
I think that's right.
I want to hear, I have a friend sitting next to me, Terry Jones. He is the one who bought my first bicycle.
Tell me about that story.
What a privilege.
Yeah, Jerry, you come on, tell us.
Well, you know, Brother Vargas and I met in 1968. We worked with a group called Operation Mobilization on a team, and my heart was really inclined towards NJ. Now, I was going to thinking, well, this is India was so unfamiliar to me, you know. I think I'm going to go back after a year, and then someone told me, well, it takes a greater calling to leave India after you've been here than to come in the first place. And I said, well, that's right. And I stayed and I become more Indian. And then God told me, and I just told Vargas, I said, but someday I'm going to take you to America. So my wife and I were missionaries in India and Sri Lanka for over 10 years, composite, and our sons were born in Sri Lanka. And we gave him a one-way ticket to America. And he came, and then that's where he met his wife and in Texas. And then I married them in 1984. It was a privilege to marry them. But I was moved when I came to visit him after our 2 years' experience to buy him 2 bicycles.
Amen. The reason I was putting your arm, you were getting so excited about it, you were beating the table.
Oh, yeah. Making a noise. Yeah, I get excited.
And everybody was wondering, what's that sound out there? Yeah, it's him being excited serving the Lord.
I'm pounding the table because my heart is pounding.
Yeah, and so you bought the bicycle, and God showed you that's what you needed.
Yeah, we bought 2 bicycles. That was the beginning. Then we gave him enough money from other we collected to buy a little bookstall. So he had a little in that town where he was preaching, no result. He had a little bookstall, and he was getting out tracts, selling calendars and selling Bibles and New Testaments. And one day a young man came from the college and got very angry at him, and he started, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to bring some other brothers, and they're going to beat you because you're preaching Christianity. We're Hindus. Next day, Vargas gave him a little tract printed by World Missionary Press out of New Paris, Indiana. I know there. I've been there. I pastored in Indiana for many years, and it's called Help from Above. And now we're getting it printed in different languages, but it's very nicely printed. And he took it home to his dormitory and pulled out one of the pages, ripped out one of the pages, and put ganja, or you know, a hybrid marijuana, rolled it up and started smoking it. And I tell people, when I tell them that story now, I said, you know, I believe in holy smoke. That was really holy smoke, because he got convicted, came back to Brother N.J., and N.J. can tell you what happened. That was his first convert.
Yes, that was his first convert. His name is Satish.
Yeah.
Satish means the son of God. Oh, now he is a real son of God.
Yes.
After he became a Christian believer. And he read this booklet and burned the booklet and smoked opium. In that night, he could not sleep.
Yeah.
It's very unusual. Morning, I couldn't sleep. What happened to me? You know, it's very unusual. Then he decided to picked up the rest of the torn booklet that was lying on the floor. And he picked up and he started reading.
Mm.
And here we come to a place it was written, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth you from all sins. He said, that is completely wrong. I went to River Ganges. I took a dip. You know, River Ganges is a holy river.
Yeah.
I took a dip in River Ganges to wash away my sins. Nothing happened. Then how blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all my sin? I want to go and challenge this preacher.
Mm.
He came to my house, and I spent 3 hours with him, explain about the Lord and the plan of salvation for his life, how he could become a real son of God. Yes, but not by name, but in a real way,
yeah.
How you can become a son of God. After 3 hours, I gave a challenge. Satish, would you confess from your sins? The Lord will come in your heart and change your life, but with one condition. You should be ready to forsake all your gods and goddesses.
Amen.
A real commitment. Yeah. Real commitment.
Yep.
He said, yes, sir. I am ready to do it. We knelt down. He didn't know how to pray. I led him in a sinner's prayer. After prayer, he got up. You know what he told? He started witnessing to me immediately. Lord, I feel a great burden just removed from my back. That is the Lord. Now you are experiencing, tasting the salvation of God. And after he became a Christian, my friends who are hearing me today, Satish had to pay the price. When his parents heard about his belief on Christ, he was rejected and kicked out of home.
Yep.
He didn't have anywhere to go. He was going to college at that time. Then I told him, come and stay with us in our 50 cents house. Come and stay with us. We shared the food for him. We explained the gospel to him. This is one of the ways in which we disciple people in India. Yeah. What I did was I took him back up my bicycle to an open marketplace. In India, we don't have supermarket like you right. have. We have open market under the trees. Average, you will see at least 5,000 people from all over the place coming to this marketplace. For an example, the postman, he doesn't give out letters every day. He give out letters only the market day. He stand under a tree. All the people know where the postman is standing. They come and collect. Yes, I'm giving you a little idea how things work in India. So anyway, this is what I want to say. I sing and clap hands and give a gospel message to them. Then I will say, Satish, just to say a few words, what God has done in your life. Oh, no, I never did this. I just said, not 2 minutes. No, oh, okay. He gave his testimony 2 minutes. Next market, when we go there, he will say, can I take 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Friends, that is part of discipleship.
Amen.
That may not happen in America. It's different. You don't have open markets here. You cannot preach in supermarkets. Here is not allowed. But in India, that is the way we train our new converts. To make a long story short, I want to establish a church. Now I have only one church member, Satish.
And he's the very first one.
Very first one.
Where missionaries go to die, right?
Yes.
That's what you said.
Only, yes.
Okay.
Graveyard of Mission, Bihar.
Okay.
So one convert. So we told him and encouraged him to tell his friends about the Lord. He started talking to his friends in the college about Jesus. And they asked him, tell us more about it. He said, I don't know much about it. If you want to know more about it, come to my friend NJ. He will tell you. He started bringing young people to my rented house. We started sharing the gospel, and they became Christians.
I want to interrupt just a minute. Yes. While we're doing this, we want to refer. We talk about people of influence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's an unusual person, isn't it?
Well, it can be. And also, as a part of that is when you talk about the principle of a person of peace that Jesus taught us in the scriptures, he also teaches about, in Greek, the word is oikos. It means our circle of influence. It's our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, family members, people that we have influence in their life. And this is an example of Satish reaching out to those friends in college with him.
We may not can preach in the open market, but we can influence our friends even in America.
Exactly.
Okay, he started bringing people to hear you preach.
So other thing we had to understand about India is we have a community lifestyle. In the Western world, we are individual people. Don't tell me what to do. Yeah. But in India, we have a community lifestyle. The parents will say what is their son going to be in the future. You're going to be a doctor or an engineer or a sweeper, whatever it may be. They make the decision. It is very unusual for the Western world. But in our culture, it does work. When these new converts giving the gospel in the local dialects, not in Hindi, within Hindi, there is a dialect is called a Sadri. All these people speak Sadri. When they give this precious gospel in these local dialects, they listen. They are one among us. Mm-hmm. You are from that village? You used to worship the monkey god? Now you don't? So when you hear this thing, that really crippled their hearts and minds. Tell me more about your God. So that is what happened in India. And we established a church at this moment now. And I said, Lord, I want to start one more churches. The Lord gave me one more churches. Lord, I want 5 more churches. I want 10 co-workers. I don't take workers from any other places. It should be made our own.
Raised up in the harvest field.
That's ours, yeah.
We train our own new converts. Now we have 5 churches, 10 core workers. I prayed, Lord, 25 churches? Yes. Happened 25. How about 50 churches? After many years, 50 churches and about 70 co-workers, all these people are from the local area, became full-time workers.
Okay, now let's put a time frame for that. The first one that was saved was what year?
It was
in 1974.
Okay.
1974.
And then growth and growth, and what is it? How did you end? 25 churches?
After a few years, we had 25. Then we had 50.
And we're talking about
five, six years.
I was wanting to make sure everybody was getting a hold of that, NJ, because we call that multiplication church plans, don't we, Nathan?
Then after about 10 years, I prayed, Lord, 100 churches, and we had 100 churches and 135 some co-workers, all from who are saved and trained from our ministry. And I said, Lord, 100, that is all. I won't ask you any more. But today, to make a long story short, God helped us to establish 400 churches with 650 pastors, evangelists, taking the gospel among their own people. This doesn't happen over time. Overnight, it doesn't happen. It takes a lot of perseverance and prayer and faith to break the barriers in a Hindu land like India. Like I said in the beginning, 333 million gods and goddesses. How can you take this gospel among this multitude of people who have different type of belief and gods and goddesses to make a difference? This man, Jesus, yes, he can. And do it, because the Bible says he's God above all gods and goddesses. That means, friends, there are gods and goddesses. Who is your gods and goddesses in your life? Is Jesus is your God in your life? That is what I like to see happening through this broadcast. God is there with you today, and he wants to touch your heart and mind to make a difference in your life. That is the reason we are here today. And like I said, my heartbeat is to go to the places where the gospel never been preached. One day I was, can I give a little story here?
Absolutely.
I was preaching the gospel in an open market. That is my platform, open marketplaces. While I was preaching, I saw 8-9 men standing in line and listening to us. Hardly they had any clothes. I would say for a month, no bath, no shower, no bath. They were listening. I went to them. I said, who are you? They said, we are monkey tribe. What? Monkey tribe? I never heard. What do you mean monkey tribe? We catch monkeys and eat monkey meat. We came to the market today to sell live monkeys to get some money to buy rice. I said, why you been waiting here and listening to us for 45 some minutes? They said, we like your singing. We want to know more about your God. Could you come to our village tomorrow morning and tell us about your God? Oh, what an invitation. I said, yes. I couldn't sleep in the night.
You didn't have to say, I'll pray about it?
No, I didn't say pray about it. I just took the opportunity.
Were you worried that they would offer you monkey meat to eat?
Yes. I knew. Well, when I took the team in the morning, went there, they have what he called American Indians used to live in teepees.
Yes.
You know, teepee, that kind of. They are nomadic people. They come and stay in an area for example, 3 months, catch all the monkeys. When all the monkeys, they move it to other side of the jungle area. Anyway, when we went there, there was a dirt road, side of the road. I just want to cry when I say this. They put an arch. In the morning, some men climb up the trees and cut down the tree branches and made an arch. When I get to heaven, my friends, I want to tell Jesus, Lord, You remember that arch there? It's not for me. It was for you.
Amen.
They were welcoming you. To make a long story short, my friend, today we have 1,500 believers from that monkey tribe.
Amen.
Nobody been to school. We started sending them to school. I was there a year ago. I asked a lady from the tribe, I said, what your sister is doing? You know what she said? She is a police officer. Police officer? What you both going to do? They said, we finish our high school, we want to go to a nursing school.
Yeah, amen.
You see,
amen.
We have caste systems in India.
Yes.
Monkey tribe known as the untouchable caste.
Right.
Now, what happened? Police officer with a staff stick in her hand and telling the high caste Hindu when he park a car in the wrong place, sir, please move that car from there to there. That is change.
The first
that is
be,
what gospel will bring.
The first shall be last and the last shall be first. We've got to do not have a lot of time. Tell about the book and
yes.
how people can get it.
After all these years working in India, and the Lord inspired me to write a book. The first place I said, Lord, I don't want to write a book because who want to read book? I am a little guy from India. I put it off for 10 years. But you know what? When God wants you to do something, if you don't do it today, there is a day called tomorrow. He will make it to happen tomorrow. That is what happened. God gave me the title of the book. The title is Christ on the Dusty Roads of India. He gave me the cover design of the book. This is completely outstanding book. I'm not saying, people are saying.
Amen.
Recently, I got a message from a 92-year-old woman here in America. She read the book and she said she read so many books in her life, but your book stand tall.
Amen. Well, how can people get it? How
he
can you get it?
This book? It's called Christ on the Dusty Roads, India. You can go to Amazon and type the name Christ on the Dusty Roads of India, or put my name NJ, where you will be there, or you can get to our website. It's called Joy Press.
Well, brothers, we have closing out of time. We've got to thank you for being with us. And we're glad to have you here on Exploring Missions. Nathan, been a great interview.
Amen. And Christ is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our work and our witness that we can offer. May He be glorified in our lives. Thank you for listening today to Exploring Missions.